It's time for the movie Ray, and tonight's returning victim is director and writer and actor Dakota Ray, as Sebastian's Unholy Flesh, The Dark Days of Mitrius. Hello.
Hi, thanks for having me again.
Sebastian's Unholy Flesh is the latest one that just recently got released on physical DVD and Blu-ray in the story, and can you tell us a little bit about the story itself?
Yeah, I would say the reaction has been extremely positive, and I think that people are slightly mystified by the film. I think it's artistic departure from my previous films, and I think it's a film that people are going to have to watch a couple of times to actually have the ability to comprehend. But if I'm going to simplify the film, I would say that it is powerful. An experimental film that chronicles the emergence of a new evil as a trinity of unholy entities try to obtain Lucifer's ancient unholy book after a shift in the universe occurs. And I'd say that the film itself is a voyage into a universe that is absolutely devoid of light.
Now, you yourself is in this film, just like your last film, Dark Days of Demetrius. Now, how would you proceed this in this particular story and not make it so typical or predictable in this type of genre film? Like, what did the process made you make this something a little bit different, something that you put yourself in, but having to make a different experience? Is the experience more of the challenge for you?
Yeah, I would say that the role of Sebastian was actually kind of hard for me to identify with the character at first, because the character is not really a human being. He's more of an entity that manifested in the flesh to obtain the unholy book. The turning point came when I came to the realization that all I need to do to identify with the character is to know that the character is on a mission to obtain the unholy book, and that is the actual, that's the primary driving force of the film, obtaining the book and its powers.
And when it comes to directing this film, I mean, having to switch places from directing it and then having to act in it at the same time, was it more of a cautious route for you, having to direct which angles, which particular area that you want to focus on as far as story and the characters that's involved with this? Was that more for you to work with and to almost perfect in a way than to actually play the character itself?
Yeah, I would say that it's always easier for me to be behind the camera than in front of it. When I am in front of the camera, I am forced to utilize tripods, which I do not like. I prefer to just hold the camera in my hand. When I hold the camera in my hand, that everything turns out it's more artistic than it is on a tripod. I have an aversion towards tripods, but I'm forced to utilize them when I'm filming for all my characters and all my films, essentially. A lot of effort was put into the camera work in this film.
Was this like a local-based film that you had to perform? I know that the pandemic was still kicking everyone's butt on this, but was this an added element to your film? Was this a more of an enhancement for the mood and the tone?
Yeah, I definitely do feel like it was the perfect time to make this film, because all my films before have been very centered, and all my films before have been relied heavily on reels, especially The Dark Days of Demetrius. You know, like, all my films, I strive to make it feel as if the films are taking place in a different dimension. The film itself could take place in hell, and that was a very important element, was to create a very unique atmosphere through prop design, set direction, and the editing, and the sound design especially. But I will say that the making of this film was extremely chaotic, but enjoyable though.
Your films between The Dark Days of Demetrius and this film relies heavily upon evil versus evil, or the dominant or the alpha. And would you say this is a more critical focal point? That was this something like a merge in a way that these evils can also have a specific purpose and not exactly the whole traditional take over the world and kill everybody type of mentality?
Yes, precisely. And that's why in this film I enabled myself to have an unlimited amount of artistic freedom when I wrote the script. And I think it definitely shows within the film.
And this time you have more than just two people wanting to claim the fame and stuff. This one is about a specific, more powerful thing. And this one indicates that whoever has a higher power is the higher power regardless. And it is the books of all books in terms of evilness and having to work with that. How did the process of trying to figure out using lore and the cult, the history of it all, make it more believable and make it credible, including yourself in the movie? How are you working with these characters make to intertwine with each other like this?
I guess it all starts back to the genesis of my previous film, The Dark Days of Demetrius. That film ended, right? I released it, but at the same time, in the back of my mind, I was creating a very complex story that would eventually become this film, as I probably spent about 5 months working on the script. But additionally, this is important, the character of Nezah, played by my friend Nick Benning, turned out to be a Antichrist was released, and then he reached out to me, and we resumed our friendship, and I designed a character specifically for him of Nazar, which is Sebastian's main adversary, who is the firstborn son of Lucifer, who's actually the one that was destined to obtain the book, but because of the sorceress that appears later on in the film interceded for Sebastian, he was able to manifest into the flesh, Sebastian was. That was the thing, is I kind of had to realign the mythology of the film once Nick came into play. But I will say, though, that it worked out tremendously perfect, because the White Spotter character, who is initially Sebastian's adversary, he's essentially a serial killer and a shaman. He is not a demonic being like Sebastian or Nazar. So that's how come he realizes in the middle of the film that what's going on is beyond his capabilities and powers, so which is why he has to summon Nazar. But still, ultimately, they are unable to obtain the unholy book together.
As far as the creative process, did you have to almost go from scratch on this particular film?
Yes, that's precisely correct.
How long did this actually take for you to actually make this, despite the pandemic? Did this take longer to do for you, or did you have to do in sections and eventually get completed by the end of so-and-so?
I mean, it is long, but I mean, not because I made it. The Dark Days of Demetrius is still the longest amount of time I've spent making the film. This film, I started filming it in March of this year, and it wrapped up in October of this year, early October. I was just putting the finishing touches on it. The pandemic didn't really halt the film any. It just kind of slowed it down. I mean, it didn't affect it at all in a negative way. During the lockdown, it actually enabled me to focus primarily on this film, and the majority of my scenes were filmed during the lockdown because, you know, I was in isolation and I was not allowed to be around anybody else, so I just filmed my scenes for this film. And then once the lockdown was lifted, I got back with Fred and eventually Nick, and then we knocked the film out.
Like, your films usually intertwine with temptation and obsession. Like, in this film, temptation definitely plays a good, almost a subtle love tap in here, a love touch in this film, because you have a lot of alcohol, you have a lot of paraphernalia and stuff like that adds the fuel to the characters itself. And in a way, some of them use them, in a way, it's just there for props, but it's a temptation there. It indicates that anything is possible, there's no holding back.
Yes, that's true, and I think that this film is my most decadent film yet. And as you mentioned before, the alcohol, the absinthe, a majority of the film's budget was allocated towards acquirement of absinthe, which was consumed copious amounts, and still is on a daily basis by me, but also during the filming process by Nick and Fred, actually. Nick Benning and Fred. So they were able to get in the same kind of mindset as I was during making this film. But I agree that all my films are about vices and obsession, but this film is probably, I'd say, it's definitely my most decadent film yet.
Being more in depth about the obsession part and temptation, these are two very strong entities in everybody's lives, and it does take control of everybody. And this is where it shows in your films that this can be one very evil, very almost uncontrolling type of entity within ourselves, and it spills out on each scene. So would you want to further dive to the very core of this, or would you actually veer off a little bit but still have almost trails of obsession and temptation within these dark films?
Off, because I mean, if I look at all of my past films, that's primarily what it's about, is obsession, temptation. For instance, The Dark Days, Demetrius, the characters Demetrius and Clive are obsessed with fame. In other, my earlier films, the characters are obsessed with obtaining drugs, is a primary factor in the film, obsession. It can be evil, it is insidious in some ways, but yes, definitely.
Playing with the seven deadly sins, so to speak, but you're not incorporating that specifically in your films, but they are there to a degree, but it's not incorporated at all. Further venture in these, are you going to go a little bit past these seven deadly sins, find other means that what could strike a potential threat of a sin or threat of a that leads up to obsession? Would you use that more of the weapon than previously in your other films?
I'm actually uncertain yet, because my creative process very sporadic, so I could have be working on a script and then I could change it just instantaneously before a shoot all of a sudden. So I'm very versatile. My creative process is very unpredictable. Not sure what I will do in the future yet.
What would you predict of a reaction for yourself and as well as the audience, how they feel for this? Not exactly on a controversial level, but in terms of the art aspect, in terms of the storytelling aspect, in terms of respecting you toward this, considering of the string of other films related to this.
Yes, this is an important question because Nick Benning's my friend, but he's an astute critic. We talk about my previous films, and he's open if he thinks that any of my previous efforts were weak or lacking, he'll definitely let me know. But it's just that when I played him the footage that I had, the pre-existing footage kind of just set me aside, and we came to the realization that this is a very powerful film. So yeah, I would say that this film is very powerful, and this, as one critic stated in the review, that this film is very hard to put into words. It's just an experience that you just have to see for yourself. The atmosphere of the film permeates you. The film, to me, I think it feels very hypnotic, if you will. But I don't want to say that the film is my masterpiece film, because that puts pressure on me. Because from my perception, I do something different with each film. So this film is vastly different from The Dark Days of Demetrius. It's absolutely futile for me to compare this film with any of my past films, basically.
Would you say realization actually is more dominating over fabrication for you, or would you actually use fabrication as the main weapon with just hints of realization for your films?
All of my films I put a tremendous amount of effort and work into, so it's only more after the fact. Film is wholly 100% complete. I can look at it and judge it, but no, I mean, there is a very inherent feeling with this film. The feeling I have about this film is very inherent, and I think everybody around me that I show it to, people that are close to me, they have the same response as I do. They don't know what to say about the film. They know it's powerful, but they don't know exactly how to put it into words to describe how they feel about the film.
You just know it's so surreal that in a perspective state of mind when watching this, that you don't know what could be the potential.
Yeah, precisely. I think that this film is mystifying, essentially.
Go ahead and plug in where we can check this film out, where at any websites or anything that you want to promote and share that we can check out right now.
Yes, it's available on physical format on my store, Envy site. If you just Google Dakota Ray Filmmaker Store Envy, the links will instantaneously pop up where you can purchase the film. And eventually, I mean, because like all my films, it's inevitable that the film will end up on YouTube at some point, hopefully before the year is over. So yes, definitely. Or check out Dakota Ray Filmmaker on Facebook or on IMDb.
Very cool, man. There you have it, everybody. That is actor, director, writer Dakota Ray.